from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Happy Friday to you, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, I'm Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Open Line Friday, by the way. And if you would like to participate, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call. This is the one time of the week where we were able to veer off the whatever topic I chose for the day. And you get to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Now, I want to warn you ahead of time, we have a jam-packed show today. We have Indiana Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, who is going to join us really in just a matter of moments, and we're going to get the lowdown on what's happening and what happened yesterday in the state of Indiana. Also, Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be along through one heck of a Christmas party yesterday, his 15-minute Christmas party. We've got Senator Marsha Blackburn, who is going to be here as well, along with Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway. And she is really fired up over what happened in Kansas City. You folks there at City Hall not allowed to decorate your office with Christmas decorations, but you can decorate your office with Kwanzaa decorations. So we'll be talking to the Attorney General about that a little bit later on. Our good buddy Joe Messina, as always, joining us, as well as a guy running for Congress in Arizona, David Rose, who is a member of TPUSA Faith. He is a pastor, also a member of President Trump's Faith Council. So we have a pretty jam-packed show today as we get through some of the big stories of the day. Now, I wrote something on X last night that actually several things that went a little viral. And when I say a little viral, I mean they went viral. One of them, and I want to read these to you because these were written in the aftermath of this failed vote in Indiana, where you had an overwhelming number of Republican senators vote against President Trump. They decided to stand with the Democrats, and they will not redistrict the state of Indiana. And now President Trump is declaring war. The president calling on Republicans to primary these renegade, these rogue Republicans. And ladies and gentlemen, as I wrote last night, I'll read my two messages that I wrote on X. First, Republicans have a choice, either fulfill President Trump's entire America First agenda or lose control of their majorities in the midterms. Choose wisely. And as I began to analyze the comments coming out of Indiana, when you look at what's happening in the Senate and the lack of movement on the president's agenda in the House and the Senate, when you see that the administration's own Justice Department, you know, to date, nobody's gone to jail. There have not been mass arrests. There were so many crimes committed against President Trump and the American people. And nobody's being held accountable. And they keep telling us, I mean, Bongino and Patel and Pam Bondi, they keep telling us to wait, be patient, it's coming. Well, we're almost a year into the administration, and we haven't seen no movement at all. Hunter Biden, the laptop scandal, the cocaine in the White House, Hillary Clinton and the laptops, the computer systems that were wiped clean with bleach bit. None of that. Russia, Russia, Russia. Nobody's helped. Nobody's been held responsible. Nobody. I mean, we spent tens of millions of dollars on hearings over the years. All the evidence is there. So what exactly are we waiting for? And that led me to write this. And it has become a subject of great conversation among many people on social media. It's hard not to imagine that there was some sort of nationally coordinated movement within the Republican Party to bring the Trump administration to a full stop. The GOP may do what the Democrats have not been able to do, kill the America First agenda in Congress. They lose the midterms and Democrats impeach Trump. And I think that's where we are right now, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. But it does seem as though there is some sort of a coordinated effort, unless you believe in coincidence, and there have been quite a number of coincidences of late that have either slowed down or stopped the Trump agenda. Of course, Congress just what yesterday stopped one of President Trump's executive orders regarding federal unions. So we're going to have to really encourage our lawmakers here, folks, to do the right thing. And it does appear that we are uncovering in the early stages of really yet another coup. And this could be a bipartisan coup against our duly elected president. And make no mistake about it, there are Republicans in office, in Congress right now, that would welcome a Trump impeachment trial and hearing. They would welcome that. Have no doubt about it. So we're going to be taking your calls on that today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is Indiana State Senator, Senate Majority Leader Chris Garton, just really enraged over what his fellow Republicans did not do. Cut 7.
Some will say these maps are political. Let me be clear. You're damn right they are. Political policy is political. Safe streets are political. Look at Indianapolis. Affordable electricity is political. A drug-free Indiana is political. Peace in the Middle East is political. I dealt with it firsthand. If drawing a map that secures two more seats for the Republican Party means that we continue to see overdose deaths drop by 20%, then I'll draw that map every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. If drawing a map means that we'll continue to see a 93% drop in illegal immigration, then I'll sign it with a smile on my face. We're not here to be neutral arbiters of decline. We're here to be active agents of American greatness.
All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Indiana's Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith. Lieutenant Governor, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd. How you doing?
All right. Well, you just heard the tail end there of the Majority Leader, Chris Garton, who is just really frustrated. I want to get your reaction to what the Senate did last night.
Well, I'm as frustrated as Senator Garton is. But I'm going to tell you, though, that speech that Senator Garton gave was one of the best speeches I've ever heard from any floor of any chamber in the entire nation. I mean, he just laid it out so brilliantly and passionately why we have no option but to do what President Trump is calling us to do. And that's, I think we are living in a day where the Bible talks about the spirit of the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and they knew what to do. We're living in a day where Republicans do not have that spirit. They don't know the times we're living in. Therefore, they don't know what to do. And so guys like Chris Garton and myself and others were saying, hey, Republican Party, wake up. This is a Marxist, evil, wicked agenda that's trying to destroy everything about what makes America great, that God himself has been raising up for generations. And now we're just gonna stick our heads in the sand and act like, well, Democrats are Tip O'Neill Democrats or JFK Democrats. It's not the same Democrat Party. This is a Marxist, radical, Islamic takeover of our nation, and we're not doing anything to stop it.
It's just insane. I mean, we're watching the Democrats, and they're playing hardball here. I mean, this is a street fight. Meanwhile, Republicans are at the country club, and they're drinking their martinis, and they're getting shanked by the Democrats. I just don't understand, what is it going to take for the Senate, for these Republicans to wake up and understand that the Democrats are always going to play dirty, and they're going to keep winning if the Republicans don't play hardball as well?
Well, I think pain is a good teacher. You know, anytime, God gave us pain for a reason. When your body starts to ache, it's telling you something, right? So I think in Indiana, the primary season is going to be very painful for the Republican Party. And I think it will be a good thing. I think in Indiana, we will see in the next 2 to 3 years a conservative Senate. That's my goal. That's the governor's goal. That's President Trump's goal. That's the people like Senator Garton. We're gonna continue to raise them up the best we can, and then we're gonna find other people in Indiana that can then replace some of these senators that, by all means, might be conservative. Like, there are some senators that voted no yesterday that I would consider are stalwart conservatives. But again, they don't understand the times we're living in. If they couldn't see it, then we have to remove them and put people in there that know the times we're living in and will fight the way that we need to fight right now to protect our posterity. This is for our children and children's children.
There had been some concern that the president's language, the threats. I know one senator in particular was upset. He was offended by some words the president used. Did that really play into this?
No. The threats were coming from the other side, actually, was what I heard. So the pro tem, Rod Bray, along with former Governor Mitch Daniels. There's rumors that the governor of Maryland was getting involved, saying, hey, we will help you guys to, save your seat. We'll bring in leftist money in your Republican primaries if you vote no. And if Maryland, if Indiana doesn't do it, Maryland won't do it. I mean, it was just, here's what's telling. The people who were adamantly against redistricting in Indiana are the abortion up until the time of birth people. They're the open borders people. They're the transgender and sports people. And now it's the 21 Republicans in Indiana all on the same team. That's the crazy thing. When this vote failed yesterday, the crowd out in the rotunda went crazy. And those people are the furthest away from anything American, anything conservative that I know. And they're the ones now giving praise to the Indiana Republicans in the Senate for doing what they did. That tells me everything I need to know.
I keep going back to 2015, Lieutenant Governor, and it was Mike Pence, who was then governor, signed that Religious Freedom Restoration Act, then came under pressure from the radical activist and backpedaled on the language. And it was so many social conservatives were so disappointed. And I think a lot of people are sensing that spirit still exists within some circles of the Indiana Republican Party.
Well, it does. It does. And just because President Trump won Indiana by a wide margin doesn't mean that the government in Indiana is a America First government. So the House is pretty good. We got a good Speaker of the House, Speaker Todd Houston. Our House is pretty solid, pretty strong. Governor Braun, myself, our executive branch is very, very strong. We have the most conservative America First executive branch between myself, the governor, our attorney general, our secretary of state, comptroller, and treasurer. We all are that, America First leadership team. But in the Senate is the problem. And we've got senators, some of them that are older than dirt. One senator has been there since I was 11 years old, which is crazy if you think about it. That he is still in office today. I wasn't even able to drive yet. And I think, again, they at one point, I think they were doing great work, but they're just out of touch and they don't understand the times that we're living in. And President Trump asked us to stand with him, and we essentially gave him the proverbial middle finger and said, go. And for a president who's done so much for conservative Hoosier values in Washington, he has taken bullets for us. He has been smeared for us. He's been the most pro-life president I've ever seen in my life with overturning Roe. And for Indiana, of all places, to say, go to hell, President Trump. I mean, that's what we told him yesterday. And I'm embarrassed. I'm disappointed. But it's going to change. We will change this. Indiana will be back where it needs to be in the next few years.
Real quick here. I don't know. There's something going on nationally. Do you think that there may be some sort of a concerted effort to stop the president's agenda within the Republican Party?
Oh, without a doubt. There are a lot of Republicans, even in Indiana, that hate President Trump. They hate him. They'll use him to get elected, but then they hate him. They hate his rhetoric. They hate his personality. They hate his style. I mean, there's a disdain. I mean, TDS doesn't just live on the left. It's on the right, too. And so you have the Lincoln Republicans, the Lincoln Log Republicans, you've got the Liz Cheney's that want their party, their dad's party back, the Bushes of the world. And so we have that in Indiana. And so I think absolutely there's a concerted effort on both sides to destroy President Trump's agenda. And, you know, hey, come hell or high water, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that that doesn't happen.
All right. Real quick here, before we let you go, I know J.D. Vance called out one Republican in particular, that was Senate Leader Rod Bray, and accusing him of basically being dishonest and lying to the administration. What's your take on that?
Well, I saw that tweet. I don't know. I wasn't in any of those conversations between Rod Bray and J.D. Vance. However, I can tell you that I have heard that, you know, Rod Bray, along with a former governor, Mitch Daniels, and some other people in leadership, have been twisting arms and basically threatening, or they've been saying, you know, there's going to be consequences if you don't vote no. And so they were really putting the screws to some of these people. And I think some of these senators then were saying, well, what assurances do we have that you'll help us in our primary? Because right now, the most nervous people in our state right now are the Senate reelection committee people, right? The people that have to go to bat for these incumbents that are up next year. They're having probably ulcers right now, because they're thinking, how are we going to defend all of these seats from the wave of America First money that's going to come to Indiana?
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I think that wouldn't surprise me if J.D. Vance's tweet is accurate. I just don't know it personally, but I've seen and heard conversations around that same idea that have been floating around the last few days.
All right. Well, Lieutenant Governor, we appreciate your candor. Certainly disappointing, and it's embarrassing, and we'll see what happens, but very disturbing as well, your comments. Thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Keep up the good work.
All right, there you go. Indiana Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith, and he believes that there is a concerted effort within the Republican circles to stop the president's agenda. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right. I want to give you guys some perspective. We are working on getting the actual numbers, but we believe the number of bills signed into law by President Trump this year, fewer than 10. Now, this is important because President Trump is, we've been telling you, Congress has to codify the executive orders. So far, President Trump has signed more than 220 executive orders, more than 220. So when Congress tells you, oh, well, we've been able to codify like 7 or 8 or 9 of the president's, you know, executive orders, so we're really doing well. No, they're not, because President Trump has signed 220. So when you look at that, the lack of movement, you begin to wonder what is going on. All right, got to take a quick break. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. Going to the phones, coming up next. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, it is Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines as promised. We will start our day in beautiful Collierville, Tennessee. Pansy listening to us on KWAM Radio. Hi, Pansy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, can you hear me okay?
You're loud and clear, Pansy. What's going on?
Good. Well, I'm driving, and, you know, I commented this morning about the fact that Congress is up there, and they're doing a lot of different things, and then they go back to their districts, and they have photo ops everywhere, but they're not getting President Trump's executive orders codified. And I think that should be a number one priority for them. That's what we elected them to do.
I'm curious, Pansy, why do you think that is? Why do you think they're not codifying the agenda?
Well, I was listening to your last segment, and I think there are a lot of them that are going around pretending like they are America First when they're really not. And I think a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon just to get the endorsement so they can get reelected.
I'm afraid you may be right there, Pansy.
I'm curious to know how many of President Obama's executive orders, the gazillion that he wrote that made no sense, how many of them got codified while he was in office in comparison to what's happened this year?
Well, it's interesting you say that. So, and again, these are April numbers. So I want to go back to, so I was guesstimating because President Trump has signed a few more into law since this story came out. But in April, President Trump had signed just five bills into law, five bills, okay? Barack Obama had signed 11 by now. The Biden administration, seven by now. And when you look at actual, and we'll pull up there are some stats on how many executive orders. Trump is leading that by far. And the reason why is because Congress isn't moving on anything.
That's pretty disheartening when we've got a country to save, and this is our opportunity to do it, and to see different ones around the country going back to their district and spending so much time for photo ops and parties and things like that. You know, I'm sorry, but that's not what I elected them to do.
No, I hear you, Pansy, and I hear your frustration. I think it's so important to contact your representatives, your congressperson, no matter if they are a rock-solid America First conservative or not. I think it's important for them to hear from all of us to say, we expect you to move on President Trump's agenda.
Well, yes, that's what I need to do next. But because they're not going to hear us, because most of them are not listening to the radio show right now. They're doing other things, I'm sure.
Well, that's the problem, Pansy. They should be listening. They should be listening right now.
Absolutely, they should be.
All right. Pansy, thank you for calling. Merry Christmas to you.
Welcome. Merry Christmas to you.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Raleigh, Tennessee. Mark, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Yeah, my Friday comment is, how in the world are these congressmen and senators making $5 million a year? How are these people that don't sell anything, they don't make anything, they don't have any money, and all the way back to Hillary Clinton, these people go up there and get rich. We have to have term limits. They're all crooks. Crenshaw and Ilhan Omar, I mean, how are these people getting rich?
Well, they're getting rich because of all the lobbyists up there, Mark. And this, you really think they're that smart at the stock market that every single one of them hits the mother load?
Of course they're not. And if there's $1 billion missing in Minnesota, I would guess that that $30 million that the brother Mary and Omar got had to come from some of that being kicked back.
It's a fair point. I would say as much as the Somalians have been bilking the American taxpayers, I think our elected members of Congress have probably quadrupled that number.
They're all doing it. They're all, except for President Trump. And look, the only thing they can do, I've been hearing about this rear guard now. It's a whole system in there. They're going after the whistleblowers now. They are going after the whistleblowers that are coming forward and exposing the corruption. He's going to have to fire everybody, I'm afraid. I don't know how else you're going to get rid of all of it.
Mark, I wonder if part of the problem is they've allowed too many members of the deep state to stay in their positions of authority in the government. They should have just gone in and cleaned house on day one.
Right, and they should have never been allowed to unionize. They should have never been allowed to unionize. And those, there's people up there that are running this country who don't even know their name.
It's Mark, you're preaching, my friend. Got to run, though, but thank you for that call. And Mark is absolutely right. By the way, he mentioned the unions. What happened? 20 House Republicans voted with the Democrats to reverse President Trump's executive order on the federal unions. Are you understanding what's happening here? So, look, I am hopeful in the sense, and I know people are saying, well, we've got to get voter turnout. We were talking about that yesterday, and yes, you voters have to go and engage the process. That's how it works. But if you want to know why voters are discouraged, all you have to do right now is take a look at what's happening in Congress. That's why the voters are so demoralized, because of that nonsense. 901-260-5926. Hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
My gift to you.
Welcome back to the show. Dylan, I think I got some allergies going on here. I don't know. I'm getting a little misty.
We forgot the tissues, Todd.
Wow. I know. I feel moved. I want to go to our newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett joining us. Congressman, Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, and a very politically incorrect Merry Christmas to you too, but I appreciate y'all.
You know, Congress, we did that for you. I know Gary Chapman, who wrote one of the finest Christmas songs in the world in Christmas history, A Tender Tennessee Christmas. He was your big guest of honor at the infamous Tim Burchett Christmas party.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was over in Middle Tennessee with for Jack Johnson. Marsha Blackburn was there, and it was just a great, huge turnout. And I looked over there, and I hadn't seen Gary in a long time, and I didn't even think he'd remember me. And we, you know, he follows me up. He was laughing at some of the stuff I'd put on the internet, and then I was like, "Dadgum, this is crazy." And then we started talking and exchanged numbers, and I mean, we don't take long walks in the rain holding hands or anything, but we've become pretty good buddies here in a short amount of time. And I said, "Dude," I said, "this is crazy, but I've never had anybody like you." And he just said, "Yes. When is it? And how do I get there?" And we got together, and he sang for 15 minutes and played his guitar. And there's a homeless guy up here. His name's Rick. His name's Rick, but he's got a website, rickfordictator.com. So he walks in with his harmonica and says, "Can I play my harmonica?" And I said, "Hey, Gary." And he goes, and Gary says, "Hey, brother, what key's your harp in?" And he said, "I think C minor or something." So Gary adjusted his guitar, and it was just beautiful. I mean, it was a, you know, Gary, like me, is a very forgiving Christian, and we both understand that. And he, gosh, he was great. And when he played Tennessee Christmas, man, it was very emotional for me. I miss my folks. I miss my wife and daughter back in Tennessee, and I love the greatest state in the union more than you know, brother.
It's a beautiful state. I'll say this, you know, I'm a West Tennessee guy, but man, the Lord did a nice job putting together East Tennessee. I'll tell you that much.
Well, He gave us three grand divisions, man, and His infinite wisdom, and we haven't totally destroyed it yet. So I'm hopeful for the future.
So I think it was, I'm not surprised by this at all. I know that the Washington Society pages seem to be stunned that your 15-minute Christmas party is the most popular invitation to get in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, well, they always laugh at me. I made a career out of people underestimating me, so I don't care. They make fun of I was at George Santos's Christmas party the other night, and these girls, they were dressed, I didn't think appropriate, but I'm old now, and they were making fun of the way I was talking, and then and somebody said, "You know he's a congressman, right?" And they all Googled me, and then they couldn't have been nicer after that. And I just thought, you know, this ain't my crowd. And so I just had it's just a crazy fun time. It's 15 minutes and we get everybody in. It's like the old days at Kmart when we start blinking the lights at 15 after. Y'all don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here.
I love it. Now, I heard Santos was serving stuff like caviar. What was on the menu at your 15-minute Christmas party?
Cheese Whiz. I one-upped him. And Mountain Dew, because Mountain Dew allegedly was created in my district there in Knoxville. And also we have the very famous and very popular peanut butter and jelly bar that we set up. It's, you know, some squeezed jelly and some crunchy peanut butter and a couple of loaves of bread. And, you know, and Senator Fetterman came. He was going to be my Santa Claus this year. And, but he couldn't. They had a meeting and he just showed up. It was the dangest thing I've ever seen, brother. He was just so kind, and he sat in there and posed for pictures with people, but he didn't have his Santa Claus. He said, "Sorry, man, I got the message mixed up or something." And he said that, you know, and they said, somebody said, "Fetterman's out there in the hall trying to get in." I go, "What?" And I said, "Clear the path." I went up there and grabbed him, and, you know, and he sat in the middle room there and sat down in his Carhartt cutoffs. And he said something about, "Oh, you've got cheese from the aerosol brand or something, the aerosol variety, you know." Oh man, we just had it was just fun. I told people, you know, I say, as a Christian, I really do love celebrating the birth of our Savior. And I mean that with all sincerity and all my awfulness and bad things I've done in my life. I'm still forgiven, and I'm still going to be in heaven with my mom and dad and my wife and daughter. So I'm very thankful for that.
Amen for that. And, you know, Congressman, what we learned in the little Baptist church I grew up in, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted the other day about me being a good Christian, claiming I'm a good Christian. I said, I never claimed to be a good Christian, just a forgiven one.
Wow.
And I mean that with all sincerity. So I... sometimes I think I shouldn't respond to these people, but then sometimes I'm getting a nudge in my head saying, "Yeah, go ahead. You might need to clarify that." So,
you know,
anyway,
Congressman, Congressman, and it's fun when you're back home and travel around the state. I one of the things that's really sort of impressed me is that your office is sort of like, you know, you never know who's going to drop by. not just Republicans, but Democrats as well. And, you know, you're a rock solid conservative. And I'm just wondering why, you know, how important is it to have those kinds of relationships across the aisle?
I think it's very important. It's more important as an American and as a Christian than a stupid politician. NBC, of all people, did like a 2.5 minute dadgum story on my party last night. God, it was unbelievable. I'm gonna put it out on the internet. But, you know, the party only lasts 15 minutes, and they talked about it for 2 minutes. And then they did almost a documentary of a blow by blow, everything that happened, you know, and Gary being there and the senator coming in and the cheese whiz and just the whole deal. And it was just just fun. And I think we take ourselves way too serious in Congress. I don't know why God just doesn't knock us out, but he seems to think we got something to hang on for. So I'm here for the fight.
Now, is it true that were you going to have a charcuterie board? I read something about that.
That was a charcuterie board. It was my cheese whiz and Ritz. I kind of went upscale. I didn't use generic. I went full out Ritz this year. And I always tell people charcuterie is kind of like a spork. Is it a spoon? Is it a spoon or is it a fork? You know, you could name your kid. You wouldn't have to do one of those stupid naming parties where, you know, shoot a balloon off in there, blue or pink, and then decides the boy or girl. You can just name your kid charcuterie at the point of conception, and it could be a boy or a girl. So there you go. Right, next child I have, charcuterie Burchett.
I love it. That's terrible. Congressman Tim Burchett on our phone lines today. You know, Congressman, I am curious, back on the farm, how are you guys celebrating Christmas? What's the big Christmas tradition in the Burchett household?
Well, it used to be one of these consultants would send me some of those Omaha steaks one time, and I grilled those things up. Man, they were delicious. And I think I got a smoked turkey in the freezer. Things are a little tight. You know, I'm not complaining. I've got a daughter in school and car payments and a mortgage. And I live in two different areas of the country. And up here in Washington, D.C., it costs you $30 to get a taco, and they don't even have taco sauce for it. They give you some kind of crazy, I don't know, I'm sure it's some liberal, it's made with liberal tears. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's just expensive. So we don't do a whole lot in the gifts. We might take care of some folks that need it. I got a buddy of mine that has a couple of friends having a little tough time, and we're going to probably take care of them and make sure they got a Christmas. And we'll get something minor. My wife brought a new Keurig, or I don't know what it was, one of them crazy coffee machines, because she goes through the coffee pretty quick. And she said, how about if we just have prayer, and we just have goodwill and blessings for Christmas this year, because I just brought that coffee maker. Mm-hmm. We'll get our daughter Isabel something and call it a day.
Well,
I'm just thankful for thankful for Jesus, and I'm thankful for the time of year, Todd.
Congressman, well, we wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and we got a little Gary Chapman as we go to break here. God bless you, sir.
God has blessed me, brother. Thank you.
Another tender Tennessee Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts around our tree. Well, I know.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm still trying to figure out what just happened in that last hour. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. So we had Congressman Tim Burchett on, and he's become sort of like the the leader of high society in Washington, D.C., which is pretty brilliant, threw one heck of a great Christmas party. His parties only last 15 minutes, and he said that's about as much as he can tolerate. And had what did he serve? He said he had a peanut butter and jelly bar where you could go and make your own PB&J. I told you yesterday, I said, you know he's going to have the crunchy. He had crunchy peanut butter.
A widespread. Yes. The smooth, the crunchy.
And serve Mountain Dew.
It's just, that's the best kind of party. There's nothing that beats that.
The Ritz crackers with the Cheese Whiz got me. That's all anybody's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on these parties. And I think George Santos was serving up caviar, which, by the way, the guy just got out of prison. Where did he find the money for caviar? What's going on there? But here's what gets me. So he had Gary Chapman, and Gary Chapman wrote the song, Tennessee Christmas. And so Chapman was going to play that song. He said a homeless guy showed up and with a harmonica, and he was like, come on in, brother. How did the homeless guy get into the Capitol? That's what I want to know.
He's a very generous congressman. He probably sounded really good.
I bet he did. He probably jammed on that harmonica. Mm-hmm. They used to call them mouth organs.
Wow.
And that guy.
We should bring that back.
That was a little much. Come here, let me blow on that mouth organ. Brother.
Dadgummit.
Anyway, you never know were we supposed to talk about some policy or something? We never got around to it. We were just talking about that Christmas party. Anyway, great to have you with us today, everybody. Our telephone number, by the way, this is Open Line Friday. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you can top Congressman Kustoff's Christmas spread, we want to hear from you. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. So we've been talking a lot lately about the importance of winning back state houses across the nation and making sure that we are electing rock-solid conservatives, as we just saw in Indiana. Unfortunately, they've got a bunch of Mike Pence rhinos over there. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to David Rose, who is very involved in TPUSA Faith, also now running for the legislature there in Arizona. David, good to have you with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
All right. David, just really curious. I mean, I'm sure you have your plate full as a pastor. Why is it that you want to jump into politics?
Well, you know, I believe it's extremely important that people of faith are involved. You know, we go back all the way to the Black Road Regiment, you know, and, you know, pastors need to be bold and stand, and not just stand, but actually influence policy. And I'm very involved in that as a pastor. I also serve on the National Faith Advisory Board. I just returned home last night from D.C., been in policy meetings this week with Paula White, the White House Faith Office, meeting with Senator Thune, and a lot of congressional members on policy that we're working on to defend people of faith. And so I'm already doing that on the national level. And I also currently serve as the school board president in our community in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We ran as the MAGA team in the last election. And Lake Havasu is one of the most conservative communities in Arizona. But we had a very liberal-controlled school board. And it's unfortunately people are not paying attention to school boards. And it's one of the most important offices that you can hold. And so we ran as a MAGA team, swept, took control of the board, and have been able to implement President Trump's agenda. We were one of the first school districts in the nation to ban DEI, one of the first to ban harsh chemicals and food dyes. And now I want to continue that fight in the state house.
You know, you mentioned Thune, and my big concern is we just don't have enough America First Republicans in elected office. I mean, here we have, you know, the Senate, and they're literally holding up the confirmation of religious freedom Ambassador Mark Walker. That makes absolutely no sense at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we have got to get the votes out in the midterms. If not, you know, I'm very concerned for the future of the nation and what the next you know, a few years will look like for President Trump.
In Arizona, how are things going there with the race and the state of the Republican Party? It just, you've got a lot of Republicans there. It just seems like in years past, Republicans haven't been able to get their act together.
Yeah, no, Arizona has, the Republican Party has been very fractured and divided, unfortunately, and we really have to come together. The inner fighting has got to stop. If we're going to take Arizona back and get rid of who I call Cartel Katie, Governor Katie Hobbs, who is an absolute nightmare and has destroyed Arizona, if we're going to take the state back, we've got to come together as a party. And in my race, things are going well. I live in a very conservative district, probably one of the most conservative districts in the entire state. So, we're just focused on winning the primary. There's currently not a Democrat in the race at this time. And so we're focused on winning the primary. It looks at this time we are leading in the primary to win. And there's two seats open. And at this time, it looks like I'm deemed to lead the race and definitely be the first in the seat.
What is the big issue facing Arizona voters?
Border continues to be an issue, you know, and of course, with President Trump's policies, we have seen the invasion into America. Obviously, it has been fixed, but we still see a lot of drug trafficking across our borders in Arizona. And unfortunately, when you have a governor that refuses to implement the president's border policies, refuses to work with ICE, we've got a problem because she is open to the invasion. We see it all across our state, and she has told local law enforcement not to work with ICE. And she is a danger to the future of Arizona and a danger to the future of America, because when you have a border governor that is going against the president's orders to protect our border, she's not just endangering the people of Arizona, she's endangering everyone in America, because when criminals know there's a governor in the state that they can cross and try to get through, then, you know, we're in trouble. So we've got to get Katie Hobbs out of office and take the governor's house back. And so Arizona's really got to focus on knocking doors. We cannot set out the midterms. I'm going to say the 2026 midterm is the most important midterm in the history of this nation. And what just happened in Miami is a very scary wake-up call in what is happening in this nation. And so, you know, from what happened to New York, what's happening in Miami, and they are targeting all conservative areas. We expected something like that to happen in New York. But when you look at Arizona, who has always predominantly been a red state, and you see the Dems taking lead, the party has got to come together. We've got to fix our own issues so that we can take the state back.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to. And I mean, it is imperative. And again, President Trump sending a lot of control and authority back to the state legislatures. And, Pastor, that's one of the reasons why we need to make sure we have rock-solid America First conservatives running in those races.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to getting to the Capitol and you know, continuing the fight that the president wants to save this nation. And I'm looking forward to serving in the state Capitol.
All right. Well, Pastor, where can people go? Where can they go if folks want to get more information about your campaign?
VoteDavidRose.com.
VoteDavidRose.com. Again, VoteDavidRose.com. Running there in Arizona, District 30, and AmFest right around the corner. You'll be at AmFest, is that right?
I will. Yes, I will be there. We head out Sunday, start meetings on Monday, and then AmFest starts on Thursday.
How do you think that, I mean, there's been a lot of controversy, over the past, couple of months now, with the dust-up with Tucker and Candace Owens. How's that all playing out in the TPUSA world?
You know, they're just focused on the mission. I'm very involved. I'm friends with those guys. And of course, they're sad to see all the rhetoric that is happening, that, you know, what Candace is doing is just heartbreaking. And Charlie would absolutely be disappointed in what she's doing. But it's, I'm going to say, you know, it's demonic what she's doing, destructive. And, you know, she said if Erica asked her to quit, that she would quit. Well, Erica has asked her at this point to quit, and she has not done that. Mm. And it's, you know, the team is just focused on carrying on Charlie's mission. Turning Point is going nowhere. They're not falling apart. Despite all the rhetoric, they are focused on the midterms. They're focused on getting in the areas and door knocking, ballot chasing. Of course, TQSA was a huge factor in the 2024 election for President Trump, and they will be again in 2026 for the midterms.
All right. Well, Pastor, we wish you nothing but the very best out there, and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Pastor David Rose, running for District 30 in Arizona, Republican, and his website, votedavidrose.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is Open Line Friday. Phone lines are filling up, so you better call in now to reserve your spot in line. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines. We'll say hello to Arnez in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Arnez. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
All right. We need to talk about the Trump administration and the GOP as a whole in 2025. Because, as a sports fan, you don't have to be a fan of certain teams to be on the outside looking in and know that, yes, if I was a Republican right now, whether I'm running state or local, running any office, I'd be a little bit concerned. I'd be a little bit concerned about 2026. And the clearest indication of that was yesterday when the Indiana state legislator refused to draw up new maps at Trump's request. Simply because one thing the GOP got to realize, just look over the last 3 months. You've had Dems basically sweep governorships, become mayors of major cities, even in Tennessee, overperform in districts that 2-3 years ago would have been deemed impossible. Even in Mississippi, they gained ground. And look at Miami this week. 2-3 years ago, none of this would have happened. At least not all at once. But all of this happened, and even with Trump now, you see, like, his air of invincibility is gone. His poll rating right now is at 36%. No, you can't spend that as good. And it's not even the fact that all these things went down at all, but it's the fact that all these happened within. He just got inaugurated back in January, not January of last year, but January of this year. So all this happened within a span of 11 months. And you got the midterms coming up next year.
Okay. Let me jump in there because you've given us a lot of data and I want to go through some of it. And look, I agree with you on some of it. I do think the Republican Party's in trouble. I think the RNC is in shambles. That's not Donald Trump's fault. I would say that when you look at Trump's overall work and his agenda, that is still getting very high marks in all of the polling data out there. Yes, the president took a hit with Hispanic voters. I suspect those numbers are going to pop back up. The president's numbers are down. No doubt about that. But I think a lot of it has to do with the constant barrage of negative coverage from the media. They're not giving the president any credit for anything at all. But again, that's nothing new. That's always happened. As far as the elections go, and this is a tough one, Arnez, because some people will look at all those elections and say, yeah, this is an indication. I do think that they are canaries in the coal mine. But the reality is, for example, in Tennessee, that had nothing to do with Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, had Donald Trump not stepped into that race, I think the Republican may have lost. So they were, I mean, it was that close. And that's one of the reasons why Republicans panicked there towards the end of that race. They saw the internal polling numbers, and that's why Trump had to jump in and literally save that candidate. Arnez, I think the bigger problem is when Trump is not on the ballot, people don't get out and they don't go and vote. And I think that's a big part of this. You know, you mentioned the governorships. You know, Virginia, it's a blue state. New Jersey, a blue state. New York City, well, you're hard-pressed to find any Republicans up there. So again, it's hard to say, are all of these bellwethers? I don't think they are, but I do think it's a warning and a caution to Republicans that they're not doing what we elected them to do.
And on top of that, it's like you got Marjorie Taylor Greene in the media, basically in front of every camera. I would say, to me, the one Republican, even more so than Donald Trump, because like I said, we have him till 2028. The one Republican that's probably in the most trouble is Mike Johnson. Because if it's true that we may have 20 Republicans either retire from Congress or get voted out next year, he's the one that should be worried about his job probably more than anybody.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Yeah, and we all hear rumors about, you know, Trump possibly wanting to get rid of Cash Patel, Pete Hegseth. Like I said, and those are rumors. It's one of those I'll believe it when I see it. All I know is he stuck by them this whole time. If he does get rid of them, I'm assuming he'll get rid of them either right before the midterms or right after. Because I'm old enough to remember when he got, during his first term, he got rid of Jeff Sessions almost, I think, what, like the next day after the midterms.
Yeah, that was somewhat of a disaster. Arnaz, let me say this because we are coming up on a break. And look, these are all very fair points you're bringing up. And it is something we're going to have to watch. And we talk about it a lot here. If Trump gave the Republicans a winning agenda and he gave them a plan, that's a winning plan. If they deviate from that, well, that's on them. It's not on Donald Trump. The problem is Trump is going to pay the price, because I can promise you this: as soon as Mike Johnson loses that gavel, there will be an impeachment hearing. And MTG, here's the latest rumor, Arnaz, MTG may very well call for the chair to be vacated. So she could pull another Kevin McCarthy before the midterms. We'll see how that goes. Arnaz, gotta run, my friend. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Yeah, Trump's numbers are down. Look, all presidents, their numbers go down after they're elected or reelected, but it's not time to hit the panic button just yet. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us wherever you are listening across this great nation. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Have you heard about this story out of Nashville? They opened up their very first In-N-Out burger chain. Any of you folks been to In-N-Out? It is a beloved California burger chain. They worship this place. It's kind of like the official bovine of the Lord, right? They put Bible verses on all their packaging. It's a family-owned company, sort of like Chick-fil-A with beef, honestly. And so anyway, they opened up their very first locations in Tennessee, in Nashville. Are you ready for this? 8 hours. That was the wait. 8 hours, ladies and gentlemen, before you could get a burger. More than 300 cars were in the drive-thru. Jeez, Lou. All right. Well, all that to say, welcome to the volunteer state. And I know that Tennesseans love Jesus and hamburgers, so that ought to go over very well. A few days ago, we told you a story out of Kansas City, City Hall, where the staffers were given an order. You're not allowed to decorate your office or your office space with anything having to do with the religious component of Christmas, which, quite frankly, is the only reason we celebrate Christmas. I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome the Attorney General of Missouri, Catherine Hanaway. Attorney General, great to have you with us. And I'm just curious, what the heck is going on at City Hall in Kansas City?
I have no idea, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on. I don't know if I'd wait 8 hours in a line for a hamburger. I just want to go on the record there.
Can I just between you and me, it's a good burger, but, you know, it's a hamburger.
Right. So the city manager in Kansas City sent out this memo that, like, is just stunning and says, hey, we'll have decorations, but they can't have anything to do with religion. And it goes so far as to say that they can have something to do with Kwanzaa. I don't fully understand Kwanzaa, but apparently it's not a religious holiday. But anything, any decorations that had to do with Christianity or Judaism were prohibited. And now, I'm sorry, but just as you said, the reason we celebrate at this time of year is because it's when Christ was born. And it's amazing. This morning, I got a letter from the mayor. So this memo went out from the city manager to employees. The mayor sent me a letter saying, oh, but as a city, we'll be lighting our menorah on Monday. We have a Christmas tree celebration dating back to the 1870s. So I guess if it's a big public display, they're okay with it. But if you personally want to put, you know, a little creche or manger scene in your cubicle, that's prohibited. It's crazy.
We had City Councilman Nathan Willett on, and he's just outraged over all of this, says it's disgusting, and he's really discouraged by this. Apparently, he's the only Republican on the entire City Council. Our thoughts and prayers for him. But again, I'm just wondering, out of all the issues that you can pick a fight over, and there are plenty in America right now, really, you're going to go after the baby Jesus and, I don't know, you know, heralding angels?
People's individual expression. Like, you know, there are First Amendment rights. There's the freedom to speak and to assemble. And the mayor does make reference in his letter to me to, you know, U.S. constitutional cases and Missouri constitutional cases. However, neither of those prohibit someone from having a small, you know, tasteful display of their religious beliefs in their workspace. And that seems to be what they're prohibiting. And I, like the councilman, I'm outraged, like, and kind of brokenhearted, honestly, because I am a Christian. And to me, we've lost far too much of the celebration of the birth of Christ at this time of the year. And this is just one more way it's government is intruding on individual rights to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior.
Attorney General Catherine Hanaway from Missouri joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Is there anything that you can do in your position as Attorney General?
So we're taking a look at that. You know, part of what has to happen sometimes is that, like, somebody has to actually try to make a display. We could go ask a judge for a declaratory action. Tough to do. You know, there has to kind of be a harm that we pursue. So, you know, we're sort of evaluating our options. If we have a good option, we for sure will pursue it.
All right. Well, Attorney General, we really appreciate you taking some time to join us today. And we just hope that the good people there in Kansas City come to their senses at City Hall and understand they made a really bad decision here.
A really bad decision. Merry Christmas to you, Todd. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Merry Christmas. There you go, folks. Great lady, Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway joining us. What an insane story. I mean, of all the things you're going to do, and in Missouri of all places, just ridiculous. All right, we have to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 coming up. Senator Marsha Blackburn. We'll be right back. All right, I love Christmas. This is like my favorite broadcast time of the year. Dylan, I don't think there are any more of Franklin Graham snacks left downstairs. The staff has been...
They're all gone.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do better at hiding those things.
They're too good. We tried to save them, but, you know.
Right? It's forget Operation Samaritan's Purse and Christmas Child. I want those chocolate covered, whatever those things are. That's really good. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And want to say hello to a great American patriot. And she's going to be the next governor of the state of Tennessee. Right now, though, she's our awesome Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, good to see you today.
It is good to see you here in studio.
Wow. I know. You know, very rarely do we actually have guests here.
Yes.
Burchett came. Tim Burchett, who was just on a little while ago, actually hosted all 3 hours of the show. And we got him some central barbecue, and he was off to the races after that. So did a good job.
Well, I'm certain that he did. He's a good man.
Did you know, he's got this, he's like the high society matron of Washington, D.C. with this 15-minute Christmas party. Apparently the peanut butter and jelly bar went over quite well yesterday.
Well, that is very Tim Burchett, and I know he loves doing his Christmas party. I would have loved to have gotten there, but we were on the floor voting. We had 5 votes.
A very busy day on Capitol Hill, and we're going to talk about some of that legislation in just a minute. I want to talk, though, about something that happened in Nashville earlier today. TPUSA making a very important announcement, and you were a part of this huge press conference that they had in the state capitol today.
We were indeed, and today the state has allowed the starting of Club America chapters, which TPUSA does in high schools, and every single high school and college in the state will be able to have a TPUSA or a Club America chapter, and I was so pleased to join Turning Point's team and Riley Gaines and make that announcement.
You know, it's interesting here, even here in the Memphis area, there's a group at Collierville High School. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get permission, for their club. So they're actually meeting at a little restaurant. They open the restaurant at 6:30 in the morning, and they'll have 60 or 70 kids come out early on a Thursday morning. So this kind of program will actually help sort of make it easier for these clubs to exist.
That's exactly right. You know, some of the schools say, well, it's political. Well, learning about your founding documents, your Constitution, your founding fathers, your first principles, it's not political.
No.
This is called our nation's history. We're the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We are the beacon for freedom. And it is going to be the next generation to carry that through. As Ronald Reagan said, we don't pass freedom on in the bloodstream. Every single generation has to fight for it, has to protect it, and then it's their responsibility to pass it on. That is what Turning Point USA is doing. That is what Club America is working to do. And removing these obstacles so that kids can have these classes and these clubs and participate in robust, respectful, bipartisan debate.
You know, I know you're running for governor, and crime has been a huge issue.
Yes.
You led the charge to bring the National Guard to Memphis, right. And that has been a huge success. We're now hearing very similar stories about violence in Nashville. I know Congressman Ogles was very upset over this Somali migrant who killed a woman, allegedly, there in Nashville. The judges had been letting this guy out on a number of other charges, dozens of crimes. And I think people here across, the state of Tennessee and really across America, they're done with this. They are just done with this lawlessness out there.
Oh, you're so right. People are saying we want safe communities. We want our kids to be safe. And they want to know exactly what's going to be done to fight crime. And the way Memphis and the mayor and the police chief have worked with the 20 federal agencies, the Guard, the Highway Patrol, the TBI, it is a model. And indeed, the administration and President Trump have made a long-term commitment to Memphis because of that.
It's shocking. People are literally driving 55 miles an hour on I-240, which has been unheard of. So I think people are very grateful that you can go from point A to point B and not get run over and not get carjacked.
Yeah. We hear about it every day. And the crime rate in Memphis is down a little over 50%.
Wow. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
And it really is becoming, and I know that you had hoped it would become a blueprint for the rest of the nation, and it really is.
It is indeed. Memphis is going to be the model for how you make a community safe. And you look at the work that we started in mid-September and the fact that we are now down over 50% in crime. Everything is down. Aggravated assault, carjackings, murder, child sexual assault, all of this is down, and drug trafficking down. The fact that they're closing in on 4,000 arrests, 4,000. And our U.S. Attorney Mike Donovan is actually getting these cases assigned. We have surged ICE and DHS and JAG attorneys into the Memphis area to work with the U.S. Attorney. Tyrese Miller, who is the U.S. Marshal in the area, is doing exemplary work and working with the other U.S. Marshals from around the country.
We've been talking a lot about mood and vibe, and it seems as though, especially with what happened yesterday in Indiana, I think the president's really aggravated by, you know, that some Republicans just aren't getting on board the agenda. What do we need to do as a Republican Party to make sure that we deliver big wins in the midterms?
What we need to do is support President Trump and his agenda. That's what the American people voted for. They want to see prices come down, and indeed they are. I was in part of the state last night, and $2.37 a gallon for gas. That's an improvement. They want the price of groceries to come down. They want life to be more affordable. And so delivering on that, making certain communities are safe, making health care available and affordable is a big one.
How is that going? Because there's been a lot of debate, even within the party, about how to accomplish that.
And you know, Todd, the thing that's so interesting to me, the mainstream media has said Obamacare subsidies are expiring. Well, no, they're not. It is the Biden COVID era plus that the Democrats put in place, and they set it to expire December 31st, 25. COVID is over. And the root cause of this is Obamacare is too expensive to afford. Republicans are saying, look, let's not send the money to the insurance company. Let's send it to the individual. Let them buy what they want at a price they can afford, something that is going to provide them the ability to provide coverage for their family.
Senator Marsha Blackburn joining us from the great state of Tennessee. She's running to be the next governor. Was that a tough decision for you to make, because you're doing such an incredible job in Washington, to come back to your state?
And being there, I represent the state of Tennessee, and President Trump is sending power, authority, money, resources back to the states. He's doing it every single day. And it's going to be a great time to be a governor, because this is the time we can actually do a reset with how our state government works. And Todd, you know, after I led the fight to kill imposition of a state income tax, Tennessee had to do a reset. Because of that, economic powerhouse was in our future, and we have done great. Now, that is a firm foundation, and we should be America's conservative leader. We should be number one in delivering health care, reforming how we deliver education, generating energy, how we go about the processes and licensure of state government and agencies and delivering benefits. We should be number one, and I know we can be number one, and we've got the foundation to do it.
One of the things that I've noticed is just the radicalization of the Democrat Party. I mean, this is insane. It's not even Nancy Pelosi's Democrat Party anymore. That's how far to the left they've gone, even in Tennessee.
Yes, you're right about that. And they have gone so far to the left. And people are saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, you've got a group now with the Democrats that are leftists, they are socialists, they celebrate socialist activities and positions, and they want government control of your health care, they want a government-controlled economy, they are for transgender surgeries for children without parental consent, and the list goes on and on.
Before we let you go, big story. This is the biggest story on my website, traffic-wise. This In-N-Out, they just opened, you know, the first restaurant here in the Nashville area. 8 hours. 8-hour wait, Senator. Have you had a double-double yet?
You could. I have not had a double-double or an animal style or any of those. But I kind of chuckled. You could actually place your order, go work your do your work day, and come back.
That's
and maybe you could drive through and pick your order up. I just thought it was hilarious.
I'm still trying to figure out the palm trees. Are they going to make it through the Tennessee winter? That's what I want to know.
It might be kind of tough because it's going to be really cold this weekend.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. By the way, Christmas, of course, and yes. I know that you're sort of like, if you weren't a senator or soon to be governor, you could probably be one of those Food Network stars. Because
I would love that.
You love cooking.
I love cooking.
What's Christmas like in the Blackburn household?
Oh, it is. We enjoy one another's company, and we do have great meals where we bring the family together, and we talk about our year. And what were our challenges? What were our successes? What are our hopes and dreams for the next year? And we really take time to listen to one another, because that's how you know how to celebrate, how you offer those prayers of praise, how you offer those prayers for cover, for mercy, for guidance, and really taking that time to know what is happening in the lives of those that are closest to you.
Well said. All right. Before we let you go, you're here in Memphis for a very important reason, and really a big celebration. Our good friend Mike Donovan.
Yes, we are going to do his swearing in for U.S. Attorney. He's returning to that position. And Todd, I've got to say, every DA, every sheriff in the west part of the state said to me, "We don't only want Mike Donovan, we need Mike Donovan."
Senator, good to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wow. This is just shocking, the level of fraud and grift coming out of Minnesota. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 of the Big Show. It turns out, according to CBS News, that your Somali migrants used your tax money to purchase luxury cars, private villas, and overseas wire transfers. CBS obtaining dozens of files and photos that reveal how Minnesota fraudsters, the Somalis, blew through hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars as part of one of the biggest COVID-era fraud schemes. Now, according to the documents, there are videos of the defendants, many of them Somali, taking taxpayer money meant to feed hungry children, and they bought cars, property, and jewelry. Video shows them popping champagne at an opulent resort in the Maldives. In one text message, a defendant, pardon me with that faux pas, "You're going to be the richest 25-year-old, inshallah, God willing." That's the Muslim for God willing. Their God, not our God. The documents feature exhibits from a recent federal trial, confirmation of an email for a stay in an overwater villa with a private pool at the Radisson Blue Resort in Maldives, lakefront property in Minnesota, wire transfers to China and East Africa, first-class tickets to Istanbul and Amsterdam, a 2021 Porsche, along with stacks of cash. Unbelievable. One of the defendants, identified as 24-year-old Abdaminajad Mohammed Nur, used his taxpayer money for cars and another Maldives vacation. The judge said, "Where others saw a crisis and rushed to help, you saw money and rushed to steal." He was sentenced to 10 years in prison and ordered to pay nearly $48 million in restitution for his role in the fraud case. Mohamed Nour is one of dozens who siphoned hundreds of millions in stolen taxpayer funds, with questions still swirling about where all the money went. House Republicans launching a probe into Minnesota Governor Tampon Tim Walz and his handling of the cases. The Treasury Department now says it will investigate whether money made it all the way to Al-Qaeda. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, your tax money was being used by the terrorist organization Al-Shabaab, based in Somalia. The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, said much of the money has gone overseas, and we are tracking that both to the Middle East and Somalia to see what uses of that have been. So just think about this for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Your tax money being used to fund not only Somalis who hate us, but also to fund terrorism. The reality is people may have died as a result of Tampon Tim's stupidity. And dare I say, retardation. By the way, the same thing happening in the Somali communities, not just in Minnesota, but also in Maine. And then this story out of Nashville, brought to us by Congressman Andy Ogles, who is just simply enraged over what's happening. And we'll get to his audio in just a moment, but here's the story out of Nashville. A Somali migrant is accused of raping a woman on the steps of a church. He was let into the country by Barack Hussein Obama. And it turns out this guy should have been in jail. He should not even been allowed to walk the streets. The man had been arrested over a dozen times, but he had every single one of his cases, from drugs to indecent exposure to criminal trespass, every single one of them dismissed. Every judge. And by the way, so the congressman writing this statement about it, and here's what he wrote. Every judge and prosecutor who let him off the hook was a Democrat. As long as local liberals are running things in Middle Tennessee, we are at war. The state should impeach all of the judges. Send the guard to Nashville. Well, now, what I just read to you has been interpreted by all of the judges in the Davidson County General Sessions Court as being a threat. And they're sending a letter to the governor calling for security. They say they don't feel safe. Well, let me stop you right there, judges. You know who else doesn't feel safe? The God-fearing citizens of Nashville, because you're letting a bunch of criminals, dangerous criminals, walk the streets. The judges accuse the congressman of employing rhetoric, invoking violence, and even for political grandstanding, it carries real and dangerous consequences. By the way, you want to know what else carries real and dangerous consequences? Letting dangerous criminal thugs out onto the streets so they can attack law-abiding citizens. So anyway, they're demanding action now, accusing Congressman Ogles of being the bad guy for exposing their bad behavior on the bench. It's really outrageous. So here's the congressman up on Capitol Hill, and the congressman seems to think that the best course of action here is to deport everybody. Deport them all. Cut number six.
Unfortunately, my colleagues must not have read the memo, because that's not what they've talked about. They want to talk about ICE and immigration. So let's talk about that. You know, in 1965, we passed the Hart-Celler Act. Since that time, we've seen chain migration on a scale that, quite frankly, I'm not sure even the progressive liberal authors of that bill could have possibly imagined. In that amount of time, we've seen 60 million migrants come into this country, most of which 90% from third world countries. There are roughly 300,000 Afghans in America, 200,000 of which came under Biden. Approximately 45% of Afghans are on U.S. food stamps. Afghans under the Biden administration have an unemployment rate double that of Americans. 68% of Afghans are on Medicaid. Let's go overseas. And so if that sounds like political rhetoric, let's look at the facts. Paris, 48% of crimes committed by foreigners, most of which were Muslim. Overall, crime has surged since the Islamic migrant influx. That is from the French Interior Ministry. London, 40% of sex crimes are committed by foreigners, most of which are Muslims. That's the Metropolitan Police Department. Rome, 83% of 2024 street robberies by non-EU citizens, almost all of which were Muslim. Sexual assault, 69% Muslim, Italian police reports. Minneapolis, here in the homeland. Violent crime in Cedar Riverside, a Somali hub, rose 56%. 2010 to 2018. Dearborn, Michigan, crime 105% above the national average. Hamtramck, outside of Detroit, 92% of assaults by Muslim immigrants. Drug arrests, 85% Muslim immigrants. Now let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, where a Somali man, a migrant who came in 2015, raped to death a woman on the steps of a church. I've had enough. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Deport them all. This is our country. We get to decide who comes in, and we get to decide who has to leave.
Well, I'm curious, do you agree with Congressman Indy Ogles? Do we just go ahead and deport them all and figure it all out? Again, make everybody come here the legal way. These Somalis who hate America, I say they all have to go. And as a matter of fact, if you're a migrant here, we pulled your fan into the fire, we brought you to this country, and you turn around and you're burning our flag, you're hating our country, and you're working against our country, you're a communist, yeah, you need to go too. So look, we're going to go to the phone lines here, going to take a quick break, 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. I have to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. Man, they are running and gunning. Millions of people are now tuning into Newsmax. They're also going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, great shows featuring Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, Rob Schmidt, many more. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phones. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Jefferson, Georgia, Cheryl on WDUN. Hi, Cheryl. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Well, I'm listening to you and the congressman from Tennessee about the Somalias and all what's going on and what's happening. Yes, they all need to go. All of them. My daughter-in-law has been waiting, it'll be 2 years for her immigration papers to get over here, to be okay for her to come here the legal way. And they've had paid thousands of dollars. And we take out loans for school. We don't get free school. We don't get food stamps. It's enough. I'm shaking, Todd.
Cheryl, when you see that many of these Somalis are getting tens of thousands of dollars from our government, those are our tax dollars. That's money that could be used to support American citizens, our veterans, poor people in this country. But instead, they're giving it to the immigrants.
I don't care what their nationality is. If they're here illegally, they need to go. Period.
Cheryl, I'm curious, what's the immigration situation like there in your part of Georgia?
It's you know, I'm kind of up in a more rural area, so I don't see it as much. But we have the same issues everybody else has. Not like a Dearborn or not like a Minneapolis, but it's all here. You know, it's everywhere.
Well, it is everywhere, and it is only getting worse, and that's why we have to deport. That ought to be the main push of this administration, is deporting all these illegals and the immigrants who we gave refuge to that are now turning around and trying to destroy our nation, Cheryl.
Yes, and we need to get the dang Republicans moving now. That's why we elected them. We can unelect them. We can elect them out of office when their term gets up. So, you know, we're tired of them taking office and then just, you know, oh, yeah, just, I don't know. There's no urgency.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever, Cheryl. And you're right. And we're going to have to light a fire under them, and we're going to have to push them. That's what we're going to have to do. Cheryl, thank you for that call. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think we get a situation with our government at state and with the Republican Party on the basis of Jeroboam, which was in Rehoboam. Jeroboam, I consider the federal government. Rehoboam is state governments. When you have a party that is basically incomplicit, not pushing America First agendas, but they don't want to, by doing it by inactivity, by staying silent and everything else, then you have a country that is no more than a dictatorship, like in Uganda or Somalia. And by them, I think we have the greatest president in the world. I've seen things just right in Oregon. Our petition is getting ready to be ratified with more than signatures in less than 3 weeks, my brother. But so it can be done if Republicans will stop trying to go through and not listen to the people, which I listened to over 6,000 people in the last four years. And the situation is, you got to show me something. You got to see it to the finish line. You got to execute what the Lord has given you the powers to do. And if you choose not to, I don't want the days after Josiah, the last king of Israel. And I feel like we're at that point, sir.
I think you may be right about that, Ron. And one of the things I've been trying to encourage people to do whenever I'm out speaking, it doesn't matter where it is, I've been encouraging people, go back and listen to your talk radio station. A lot of people, you know, they do the podcast now. They do all these other things. Go back and listen to talk radio. That is where you are going to get the unadulterated truth on the issues. And if we're going to save America, it's going to be through talk radio stations and not the ones owned by the corporate giants, right? I'm talking about the locally owned, the small companies that own a handful of radio stations. That's how we're going to be able to make change in this country. And we're blessed and honored to be broadcasting noon to 3 Eastern on many of those mom-and-pop stations around the country. I own a mom-and-pop radio station, and I think that's really how we're going to be able to get the message out there, is encouraging people to go back to the roots of the movement. And if it wasn't for talk radio, there would not have been a Ronald Reagan. There would not have been a George W. Bush. There would not have been a Donald Trump. So that's how important talk radio is to the movement. Ron, great call, my friend, and I hope you're doing well. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina, our good friend, Miss Patty. Hey, Miss Patty, what's going on?
How are you, Todd? I just, you know what? I am so disgusted with this Somalian, you know. Why isn't anybody in jail? Why? Donald Trump last year was in court. How many times? Every day in a New York City courtroom, every day, the man was almost killed twice, and he was in. He showed up every day. Where is the judgment for Tampon Jimmy Omar? What is Omar still doing in Congress? What is going on with Ron Johnson?
You mean Mike Johnson?
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's how mad I am. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. No, I get it. I get it. You're fired up.
Yeah, I am fired up because you know what? You're right. They burn our flag. They spit. They hate us. They hate us. And they need to go. I don't care if they're 5 years old, if they're 500 years old, if they have arms, legs, I don't care. Put them in, if they're on wheelchairs, get them on a plane and get them the hell out.
Patty, well said, my friend, and we're going to have to leave it there. We're coming up on a break. We'll talk between now and Christmas, but Merry Christmas, Patty.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Yeah, look, we have some interesting numbers. This is the growth of Islam in the United States of America. Between 2010 and 2020, the numbers of Muslims living in America literally doubled. And it's going up. I mean, they're projecting it could be 8 or 9 million and would be the second largest religion in the country outside of Christianity. So there you go. And it's most of it's being imported by Democrat presidents. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick. Wayne in Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKT, our great station out there. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I think I've won the lottery here.
Well.
Yeah, all right. I've just been waiting 120 minutes, but I waited you out.
Well, I'm glad you did, Wayne. What's going on?
Okay, I agree with you on 99% of what you say. And I'm 82 years old. I farmed all my life. I own a franchise business, which my son runs now, and I got a lot of other business. And like I say, I've worked a lot of Latinos, Puerto Ricans, you name it. I've worked everybody in the world. And I just feel like that you're a little bit hard on the Latinos. I've come up through Reagan, and I've helped a lot of people get their green cards, their citizenships, if they want it. If they get a green card, they can get a citizenship. And I got one boy that got his citizenship, and he come over here, and he's 16 years old, illegal, brought his wife over here from Mexico. And I got him green card, and he's a citizen now. He's got three kids, and one of them is a surgical doctor, and he's in Switzerland. Says he's going to stay in Switzerland and teaching in the university. The other boy is an architectural engineer that's fixing to go to. He's going to marry a girl from Chile. And he's leaving to go the 11th of this month, the 15th of this month, going to Chile. He's going to marry this girl. The girl's been over here. And he's a designer. He builds airport, everything, you know. So he's got another girl that's a senior that says she's going to be a doctor. So
is she going to leave the country, you know, too?
Sir?
Is she going to leave the country, too, or is she going to stay in America?
No. That girl there, she says she's going to be a doctor. And
oh.
I don't know, but this other boy, he went to Switzerland. He's been around. I tell you what, these kids are extremely smart. And I'm guessing that they're well-educated now. I get a little choked up talking about what I like.
Well,
but
why are you taking me to task? I don't understand why you're upset with me, Wayne. Tell me why you're upset.
No, I thought you were just a little bit hard on the Latinos. Like I say, I went through with Reagan and helped a lot of people, and you know, worked a lot of different people when you're 82 years old. And,
yes, sir.
And I've worked hundreds, if not many, thousands of people. I've had a packing house and. Which got leased out now, and I've had a lot of other farming and stuff. But I don't know. I did just a program or two where you was a little bit hard on trying to send everybody back, all these illegals back.
Yes, sir.
I've worked illegals all my life, and had to jump through all the hoops. And I know what H-2A is, and that's a big government deal that is tough to do. And H-3A, I know what that is a lot of these people that's abusing H-2,
Wayne, let me ask you, though, if somebody came to you and, you know, back when, you know, back in the day and said, hey, look, you know, I'm an American and I'm looking for a job, but you've hired all these illegals. What do you tell that law-abiding American citizen?
I've hired everybody that comes along. I hire Americans. Today, I've got a franchise business that's primarily American people working there. And it's a franchise business. My son runs it. And I've hired black, white, Puerto Rican, don't matter. I'm not prejudiced to nobody.
Well, I am prejudiced when it comes to whether you're illegal or not. For me, I don't, I don't discriminate against it. If you're here and you're Latino, Somali, it doesn't, if you're Canadian and you're here illegal, I just believe you got to go back to where you came from.
Well,
come here the legal way.
We ought to try to legalize them. And back when Reagan was in there in the office, I made a lot of people legal then.
Well, and I do disagree. I love Ronald Reagan, but I truly disagreed with his amnesty plans back in the day. Wayne, you sound like a good man, and I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for holding on. Yeah, we had a lot going on today, but we certainly appreciate you calling in. And I want to go to Joe Messina, who's hanging out with us, our great nationally syndicated radio friend from Santa Clarita, California. Joe, I mean, what do you tell? You heard Wayne there. He's 82 years old, and he's said that he's on the record as hiring lots of illegals over the years.
You know what? God bless him. And I don't mean that in a nasty way or a condescending way, but, you know, people who want to work. He sounds like the kind of guy that wants to give work to people who want to work, and I get it. But, you know, as conservatives and Republicans, we either follow the law or we don't follow the law. And you know, the law isn't based on emotions and how the judge feels at the time or the person. So the bottom line is this. If you came here illegally, you got to go back and do it right. It's not
yes.
fair. I'll couch it this way. It's not fair to all those people. Like my parents who came here, waited in line, did what they had to do to make sure they had all their papers right and everything else to be here. It's not fair to them. And this one's going to be distasteful. I talked to people with people who know people that have been here for like 25 years illegally. So how are they, whose taxes are they paying? Do you know what I'm saying? They're hiding on a regular basis, Todd. That can't be right. That can't be a comfortable place to be. Come up with a plan to help them out. Give them a blue card, whatever you want to give them. If they haven't broken a law, but I'm not an expert in this field. They need to go back though, ultimately.
No, they do, and I'm sure they're very nice people, but they came here illegally, and that Bingo. We just can't allow that.
No.
You know, I was, and they talk it up about it being a victimless crime, but that is not true.
No,
I was reading a story about a month or so ago. Some poor guy down in Texas, and an illegal had stolen his identity. And this guy, his credit was in the toilet. I mean, he got in trouble, you know, with the law. And, you know, this guy in Texas had nothing to do with anything. This illegal stole his identity.
Yeah, I know several people in that situation where an illegal stole their identity, you know, supposedly was paying payroll taxes with that. And you know, these companies who say that there is no way a company does a check, a background check or what have you, with an employee and comes up with, you know, John Smith. When the fella standing in front of him is definitely not John Smith and may even be a female. You know, check out the Social Security number. Find out what's going on. And it's not fair. You're exactly right. What is it? People spend billions of dollars every year trying to fix identity theft.
That's it. Joe Messina on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Joe, we've been following this situation out of Indiana, which is tied into the fight there in California over redistricting. And yeah. I've just had it, Joe, with these Republicans who simply refuse to fight.
Todd, I've been on this mantra for years, and I've heard you say it at times too. people go, oh, my God, we finally got control of the House. I go, yeah, that means nothing.
Right.
Means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And even in the states, to your point, you know, these people need to step up. I mean, the Texas House with all the Republicans there, they should have got the, they should have nailed those Democrats who walked out on the votes. The same thing here. Republicans, what do we stand for? Truly, what do they stand for if they're not willing to do the right thing when it comes to, you know, the boundaries for congressional boundaries? I don't know, Todd. Maybe we need to start. I want to go back to the Whig Party. I think that's what we need.
Well, I love that. You know, it's interesting, though, when you go back, and I think a lot of it is these Republicans just don't know how to be leaders. You know, they've been in the minority for so long. I mean, you know, you look at Newt Gingrich. Republicans had not controlled the House of Representatives for just generations.
Yep. Yeah, but, you know, you talk about them being leaders. How about just them being, I'll say it this way, being good soldiers? They know what their job is. They know why they got elected. Most of them got elected because conservative people on the street just want the safe communities. They don't want people stealing our Social Security money. They don't want people who are not supposed to be here draining our services that should be going to our vets. They don't want money stolen from the vets. And yet these guys hide under the desk when the vote comes down.
Before Gingrich took over the speaker's gavel, the last Republican to hold that position was Joseph Martin back in 1955. That was the last time we'd had a Republican. So, wow. Hey, Joe, I want to bring in a caller. This is Kathy from Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. And, Kathy, you're on the air with Joe Messina. And I know you want to say something. You want to respond to Wayne.
Yeah, he sounded awfully sweet and caring about people. But we're not talking about the same sort of people coming into this country as we were in the 80s with Reagan. These people are coming with their ideology. They want us to become them. They don't want to come here and be an American.
It's a fair point you raise, Kathy. So they're not wanting to assimilate. They're basically wanting to transfer what they left to the United States of America. And if you go to some sections of Minneapolis, honest to goodness, Kathy, it looks like you're back home in Somalia.
Yeah. And, I mean, look at what's happening in the United Kingdom. That is what their plans are for us.
Mm. Joe, what do you think about what Kathy just said there?
You know what? She's right. Look, I grew up in the north end of Boston, right near Paul Revere's house, and a very heavy Italian section. People came there because they loved this country. They wanted a better shot for their kids, and they came here. And I'll tell you what, when they had feasts, you know, the Italian feast days, and they were celebrating the 4th of July or what have you, it was never just an Italian flag. Even if it was an Italian feast, it was always, always the American flag and the Italian flag. And my grandfather always talked about the opportunities he had here in this country that he didn't have back in Italy. But they came here legally, so they didn't have to hide. It was a shame. It was sinful to depend on the government for your sustenance. You depended on family and friends to help you out if things went sideways. But they were very proud people to be able to make it on their own. And if you're coming here, you don't have to lose your culture, but you do have to assimilate.
It's a good point. Kathy, thank you for that call. You know, going back to, we had Indiana's lieutenant governor on earlier, great guy, Micah Beckwith is his name, and he believes that there is some sort of a coordinated effort within the Republican Party to stop the Trump agenda or to slow it down. And when you look at the lack of movement in the House and the Senate on a lot of the president's agenda, it's kind of hard not to let your mind wander down that path.
Oh, I've been on that path, ranting on that for a while. You know, Speaker Johnson, I'm sure he's a good, you know, Christian guy and that. But where is he in all this? Where is he in these fights? Why isn't he putting a bill forward? Every time the president signs an EO, it should be almost immediately followed up with a bill. Not wait till we have 10 or 12 items, but one at a time. Let the Democrats show who they really are, what they're really fighting. They are not supportive of him. But it's out of fear, Todd. It's not out of just hate for him. I think it's out of fear. They're worried about getting reelected. They're worried about what people are going to say. And let's go to the Obamacare issue right now. Why weren't they working on that last February? Why is it all of a sudden an issue?
It's a good question. Before we let you go, Joe, you mentioned, of course, you're from Massachusetts, and we've got a war on Christmas story from Massachusetts, Medford, Medford, Massachusetts. And Joyless Reed, she used to be at the network now known as PMS now, used to be MSDNC. Joyless Reed shared a video, and she's announcing that the song Jingle Bells, as in dashing through the snow in the one-horse open sleigh, is a racist song and says it was composed to make fun of black people.
I don't remember learning that when blacks were slaves, they had to run around with bells tied to their waist or something. Maybe I missed that class, but they have to turn everything. I call her Joyless Reed. I mean, she has to turn everything into a racist issue, and I don't doubt Boston did it, but the bottom line with it is this. You have to discount those people, especially somebody like her, because she's just so mad. She is so mad at everybody that doesn't agree with her. I know. I'm thinking back to Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yes,
and that was a nasty song.
The date
too.
Rape God. Song.
Yeah, right? I mean,
oh,
come
my
on,
God.
People.
Terrible, terrible. Back in 2022, a New York school actually banned students from singing Jingle Bells over fears that it had been performed just generations ago in blackface.
You know what? Maybe the Democrats need to look back on their own history of Jim Crow, KKK. I mean, let's list it all out for them and tell them from now on they can't celebrate anything that any one of those groups might have had something to do with and anything that might affiliates them with any of that. So, Democrats, you'll need to step out while we're celebrating real life because of your past sins. How's
you know
that?
What? I want to see how many of these Democrats actually have white bed linens. Because, you know, the Klan, I mean, they dress in those bed sheets.
You're good unless you find holes in the sheets. And you might want to question it.
I think there's even a gay version of the Klan. They've got floral
please.
Prints. Yeah, floral
Thank
prints.
You.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Joe Messina.
Way to end my Friday. Thank you.
Sorry for that visual. The great Joe Messina. Joe, where can people go to get all your stuff?
Just go to joemessina.com. You'll find it all there, my stories and everything else. And, Todd, God bless. You guys do a great job over there.
Joe, God bless you as well. Great to hear from you, my friend. The great Joe Messina, everybody, every Friday coming on. And always fun to talk to our good buddy out in California. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, this is pretty cool. Jelly Roll, one of our favorites. He's now in the Grand Ole Opry, inducted into the Grand Ole Opry. That was a lot of fun and actually was, it all happened on Joe Rogan's show. Let's take a listen to that. Cut four.
Give me some volume, Jay.
To say congratulations on all the great things happening in your career and to thank you for the positive difference you're making in the lives of so many people who need the help. You're doing great work, buddy, and I'll never forget meeting you on the Grand Ole Opry and how much it meant to me to hear you say my music helped you get through some really tough times. That's one thing country music does really well. And who would have ever dreamed back then that I'd be back at the Opry House today to say, Jelly Roll, you're officially invited to become a member of the Grand Ole Opry. It's an honor to say welcome to the family, brother.
He wanted to play that for you. When you're here.
Have a hug.
Yeah, for sure.
I love you too, brother. Hey, Joe, that's like, you don't get no bigger in country music, Bubba. It's as big as a kiss, yo. You know what Grand Ole Opry, dog?
Wow. Yeah, what an incredible thing. A very well-deserved honor. Here's a man who literally turned his life around, going down a really bad path. And, man, God got a hold of him, turned it all around, and now he is a member of the Grand Ole Opry. What a great story. Congratulations, Jelly Roll. Folks, that music means we got to scoot out of here. It's been a great wild week. Get out there. Have a wonderful Friday. Whatever you do, folks, be sure to go to church this weekend. Merry Christmas, America.